Kathy Renna is managing partner at Target Q, an LGBTQ-focused public relations firm, and she's here to talk about the 20th anniversary of Matthew Shepard's death next month and give us her spin on our LGBTQ issues. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, thanks for having me.
First of all, tell us about Target Q.
So the firm is essentially an LGBT, primarily LGBT-focused, public interest PR firm. So we do everything from crisis communications to media training to standard public relations for events and issues, campaigns, and for organizations on sort of a long-term basis when they need support in that area. So it's not that different from what I used to do at GLAAD, actually, in many ways, because I kind of do things the same way. And it's just been really great. Target Q has been around for about 5 years now. And prior to that, I had a Renna Communications, which I started after I left GLAAD.
How did you become involved?
So when I was living in Washington, D.C., after living in New York my entire life before that, I graduated from college, and I started to want to get more involved in the LGBT community, which was really more called the gay and lesbian community at that point. And I'm not necessarily a political with a capital P person. And so GLAAD was very appealing to me because they worked on issues related to visibility and media. And particularly for lesbians at the time, there was very little visibility. This was the late 80s, very early 90s. And I started as a volunteer, and I started working with what was then the Washington, D.C. chapter of GLAAD, and eventually GLAAD became a large national organization, and I stayed. It was 14 years of my life, and I feel like I grew up there. I feel like I learned so much and was really privileged to be part of so much historic change in the community on the cultural front.
What do you hope to accomplish with your work?
I think my goal in my activism has always been the same, and that is to help our community tell their stories, particularly parts of the community that are not as visible and are more marginalized. And the media is a great vehicle to do that. I mean, short of us having a personal conversation, talking to your families, your friends, the media is a way that our culture has really learned about the LGBTQ community, has made us less abstract, has informed and educated and enlightened people. And that kind of cultural change has to happen before we start to see the political change, because the political change doesn't happen until the politicians do something, and they're always the last ones to do something. That it's really the general population and voters who are going to be the ones that make the change that we need to see so that we are equal in not just the eyes of society, but in the eyes of the law.
This October marks the 20th anniversary of Matthew Shepard's death. Tell us about the events you're working on to honor this sad milestone.
Well, one of the most, I think, important things I've been able to do in my career has been to elevate the discussion around hate violence and hate crimes. And in 1998, when I was working at GLAAD, I went out to Laramie, Wyoming, shortly after they found Matthew Shepard. I was there for both of the trials, and for the last 20 years worked with his family and the foundation. And this 20-year mark is really important, not just because of the time that's passed, but because of the times that we're living in now. In the last 2 years, we have seen a real shift, a spike in hate crimes, and a level of anti-LGBTQ sentiment that we haven't seen for a long time. As Judy Shepard, Matt's mom, is fond of saying, most recently, that she's angrier than she was when she started doing this work. And that, to me, is a very strong statement. So there's a lot happening this fall. There are literally dozens, if not hundreds, of productions of the Laramie Project happening. It's a play about what happened in the aftermath of Matthew's murder. It's one of the most performed plays in America. Working with some folks in Baltimore at the Iron Crow Theater, who are doing a terrific production. I'll be going down to do a talk back after. This is the kind of play where you don't just want to get up and walk out. You want to have a conversation. There's also a really extraordinary event happening in New York City on September 24th. It's a celebrity reading of the Laramie Project. Everyone from Asia Kate Dillon, Samira Wiley, Anderson Cooper. There's just so many people who are donating their time and energy. And it's a fundraiser for the Matthew Shepard Foundation. And Judy and Dennis will be not only attending, but actually participating, and it's going to be an incredibly special evening. There's also another piece of creative work that has come out of Matt's death called Considering Matthew Shepard, which is primarily a musical kind of choral piece, but really talks about who he is, tells us who he is. I mean, often lost in this whole discussion in any hate crime, not just Matt's, is like, who are these individuals as people? They're not just something that has happened to someone. There's a someone there. There's a family member, a brother, a sister, a a daughter. And so, considering Matthew Shepard is going to be touring throughout the country through the next few months and into next year, but there's this very, very special performance, and it's going to be free and open to the public in Laramie, Wyoming on October 6th. And I am so looking forward to that. The university is doing a bunch of events and panel discussions and screening in relation with the 20-year mark and wanting to talk about this, which I think is really important. It's not really just a conversation about what happened to Matt 20 years ago. It's a conversation about what's happening today. And so with the foundation and with all these organizations, we're doing a lot this fall. I think the culmination of it all will be a celebration, really, of Matt's life and of the work of the foundation in Denver on October 20th. They're going to be doing their annual gala, but this year we're actually expecting around 1,000 people, which is a lot more than they usually have, and we're hoping to bring a lot of great attention. We're honoring Leslie Newman, lesbian author and poet. We're honoring Adam Rippon, the Olympian, and I think it's going to be an opportunity to really inspire each other and the larger community to continue doing this work in some pretty challenging times.
Speaking of challenging times, how do you see our LGBT community moving forward in this Trump administration?
It has been an extraordinarily difficult 2 years. I mean, it's been painful and traumatic and stressful, and I've really seen a lot of folks in the LGBT community rise to the challenge. I mean, I think we'll see the tide turn in November. I think the midterm elections and a lot of what's happening now is going to shift the dynamic a lot. But up until now, it has been extraordinarily painful, whether it's seeing what Betsy DeVos is doing at the Department of Education, whether it's seeing, you know, the gutting of research and programs and things at like Health and Human Services and other areas, and just the general divisiveness that Trump has created and the sort of permissiveness around hate, whether it's around sexual orientation, gender identity, race, religion, directed at women, that has done such damage to, I think, the American psyche, and our community has risen to the challenge. And one of the things that I think has come out of this, something that I don't think Trump necessarily intended, is that he has brought a lot of diverse communities together. I'm seeing more intersectional work than I have in a long time. And I think that's really important because, to me, as I said at the very beginning, it's about telling the stories of all of our community. That often means looking at populations in the LGBTQ community where identities intersect because queer people are African American, queer people are of all different religions and ethnicities, all ages. Gender identity and gender expression and gender diversity is something that we were talking about in a much more sophisticated way than we even were 4 or 5 years ago. And so that intersectionality piece, as I like to joke, Trump has really brought us together in ways that I don't think he expected or anticipated, and is creating the kind of coalitions and change that when the tide does turn, and I really do think it will turn after the midterms, we are going to be in a much stronger position to see the kind of progress we want to see when we can get some elected officials in office who see things in a way that allows everyone in this country to be treated equally and with fairness.
With LGBTQ teens already 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their heterosexual peers after facing bullying incidents, what advice would you have for these kids struggling with Trump's administration?
LGBTQ youth, it's an issue that's very close to my heart, partly because I'm a mom of a soon-to-be 13-year-old who is identifying as sort of heteroflexible right now because she's 13, and this generation is, you know, really in a place where they grew up in a culture that was becoming more accepting, and then suddenly full stop with the campaign and the election of President Trump. And so I think what I would say to any queer youth, and I do work with young people a lot, is first, know that you are loved and appreciated for who you are. There is support out there. There's a community, and it's not just LGBTQ people, it's allies who are out there. My best advice to them is to find those allies, find those outlets, find the information. The internet has completely changed the dynamic here, where there's so much more access to either social interaction or information that makes it possible for kids to feel less alone. But it's still really, really hard, and schools are still dealing with a tremendous amount of bullying. So I think finding that support, finding those allies, and trying to stay positive, it is hard. It is hard because, as a colleague of mine often says, it's very difficult to be in the closet now because so many more people are more educated about what it means to be LGBTQ. And so for those of us who are part of the community and coming out at younger and younger ages, it's much more difficult to deny and hide that. And that's something that I'm always very concerned about, and I think something that our community has really finally started to put forward as a priority in ways we hadn't in the past, and that's a good thing.
How can people get information about the Matthew Shepherd events and also Target Q?
So the easiest place to go is MatthewShepherd.org, which has a tremendous amount of information about what the foundation is going to be doing. You can also go to LaramieLegacy.org, which has information not just about the event in New York City, but about other productions that are happening around the country. And I would also suggest that you take a look at the website for conspirare.org, which is the organization and the group that's doing Considering Matthew Shepherd. It's really, really worth looking into. It's a new piece, and I think it takes us to another level in terms of understanding him as a person. So those are just some of the sites. I would also look in your local LGBT media, because they're doing a great job of letting people know what's happening all over the country.
What other projects are you working on?
Well, I'm pretty busy with this stuff, but I actually do have other clients. I'm actually working on a couple of really, really interesting things. I work with the Alice Austin House, which is a museum on Staten Island, regarding the work of a photographer named Alice Austin from the late 1800s, who was an out lesbian at the time, and was in a relationship for 53 years with her partner. And so they have their gala coming up. We're doing some wonderful programming with them where they're partnering with SAGE, the LGBT senior elder organization, and young people to create bridges. And they're doing it through a photography project where they're telling each other stories and photographing each other. It's really very cool. And I also work with the Family Acceptance Project, as I have for decades, and an extraordinary research and intervention organization that works, as we were talking prior, with families and young people around issues of acceptance and rejection when kids come out as LGBTQ. We have a very important paper that I can't talk about yet coming out in October that related to the research they've been doing, and we're doing some tremendous work at sites around the country, places like the Ruth Ellis Center in Detroit and in Contra Costa County in California, with direct interventions and helping families having trouble and struggling with things when their kids come out. And then finally, kind of getting ready for next year. I've got some work happening in preparation for what will be the 50th anniversary of Stonewall in June here in New York City, and also World Pride, which is happening in New York City next June. It will be the first World Pride held in the United States, and they're expecting several million people. It's all hands on deck for that, and you can't start soon enough to do that work. So I'm excited to be part of that as well.
Is there a question you wish people would ask you?
To me, the most important question that people can ask me is, what can I do? How can I get involved? And I think there are so many different ways to do that now that I love talking to people about who they are and what they're interested in and how they can make a difference. You know, no matter where they live, no matter what they do for a living, you know, no matter what their situation is, I think there are so many ways for us to get engaged now and move things forward that really getting people involved in the community is my favorite thing to do.
Do you have a favorite quote or mantra to get you through difficult times?
I actually have several, but I think the one that I really feel like is important, especially in these times, is actually a Helen Keller quote that I have always loved. Optimism is the faith that leads to achievement, and nothing can be done without hope and confidence. I think that the fact that I have always been and will always be very positive and hopeful about the work that I do really helps me keep doing it. And I think that, as we know, often folks can burn out in the community and get frustrated, and times can be tough and difficult. And especially the last 2 years, people say, oh, this is awful. And, you know, we lived through the Reagan years. We got through that. So, you know, we will get through this, and we will come out on the other side of it. And to me, that optimism and that hope is key and what carries me through.